Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th day of April, Anno Domini 2021. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Google recently began testing an origin trial in Chrome with a new piece of web technology called the Federated Learning of Cohorts, or FLOC, F-L-O-C, which is replacing third-party cookies. In response, DuckDuckGo, Brave, and Vivaldi have all announced that they will disable Google's FLOC, calling it a step in the wrong direction. Yeah, basically, Google's FLOC replaces third-party cookies by grouping Chrome users based on their interests and demographics. Google claims it's a better alternative to third-party cookies, but privacy advocates disagree. And so do DuckDuckGo, Brave, and Vivaldi. The disagreement appears to focus on the fact that Google isn't getting consent before tracking users. All three have published blog posts openly pushing back against FLOC, with DuckDuckGo releasing a Chrome extension which blocks FLOC's tracking. DuckDuckGo explains some of the privacy concerns over FLOC on its blog. With FLOC, by simply browsing the web, you are automatically placed in a group based on your browsing history, or cohort. Websites you visit will immediately be able to access this group FLOC ID and use it to target ads or content at you. It's like walking into a store where they already know all about you. In addition, while FLOC is purported to be more private because it is a group, combined with your IP address, which also gets automatically sent to websites, you can continue to be tracked easily as an individual. Brave, meanwhile, said it vehemently opposes FLOC and any feature that's designed to share information about users and their interests without first getting consent. Brave has removed FLOC in the nightly version of Brave for both desktop and Android. Vivaldi has also said it won't support Google's FLOC, calling its new data harvesting venture nasty and saying it harms user privacy. Privacy advocates argue that FLOC will actually expose your data more than ever, not protect it, with Vivaldi claiming FLOC has serious implications on society as a whole. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is DuckDuckGo, Brave, and Vivaldi will block Google's FLOC. And your choices are, good, time to switch browsers, I've resigned myself, I don't know what that is, and other. And so far, we have 47 votes in the poll. That's great. Time to switch browsers is number one, followed very closely by I don't know what that is. Only one person said other. And, of course, if you are saying other or you just have more to say because...
That acronym is going to draw.
Oh, please. It's going to... Yeah, yeah.
You can have you on, been flocked?
Yeah. You can head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. And the second item down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 17 April 21. DuckDuckGo, Vivaldi, and Brave will block Google's FLOC. And, yeah.
Well, and a lot of this is in response to other browsers blocking cookies that you are tracking you, and so Google, Chrome had said, yeah, we're going to start blocking cookies too, and all of us thought, well, that means they have something better to track you with if they're going to block cookies.
Yeah,
right. And cookies actually are useful. Yep. If for example you go to certain websites where you have to log in, the way they know that you have logged in and are still registered to that site is they put a cookie on your system.
And
now,
what,
theoretically,
and what messages you've read, so you don't see the same ones again.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yep. And theoretically, they either that really is limited to that website. So I suppose they could track you on that website.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Still annoying.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, places like Amazon use it. That's how they know your history. They know who you are, and they keep...
Well, that's like I was saying, anywhere's on Facebook, you know, on the internet. Right. You know, if you use any browser, the browsers are sitting there. If you happen to just quick look over at some video, say about cars or that,
right?
All of a sudden, you're going to get inundated with all these different ads down Facebook about cars.
Well, and that's because Facebook uses what's called a universal cookie. It's not limited to one website.
No.
It tracks you across
anything
every
and,
website.
Anything and everything.
Right. And then, and so consequently, if you track something in one place, if you go to, if you see an ad or you go somewhere, or click on an ad or go to a, like a, like you said, a car dealer, they know that and they'll start giving you cars.
And then and then car insurance. And
right. Yep. I got a lot of calls this week about my car's warranty. I didn't answer any of them because my Pixel phone blocks them, but it tells me why they're calling when they leave a message. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that feature screen.
Yep. At any rate, please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800. 7900415. Before we get to the phones,
I've got the audio working now. It helps if you have the ins and the outs plugged into the right.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Modern technology.
Technology. Wow. You can't beat it. Before we get to the phones, I do want to remind everyone we are in the midst of a pledge drive. We come to you just twice a year, asking you to become a member of the station. Look. The simple fact is this. You count on us to be here every week to give you computer information and to have fun together and to disseminate knowledge and all that other stuff. And now we're counting on you. We're counting on you to become a member of this station, to join the Soundbites family. And last week we didn't get to thank anybody, so we got to thank a couple of people, but let me thank the rest of them. Stephen, Richard, Harvey, Paul, Thomas, Al, Rodney, Lauren, Brian, David, Cheryl, Charles, Gary, Joseph, Paul, Gary, Greg, Kathy, John, Ken, Joanne, David, William, Frank, Andy, Frank, Douglas, Mabel, William, Christine, Edward, Fred, Robert, Daniel, Shirley, Catherine, James, Joel, Thomas, Frank, Mark, Matthew, Daniel, Harris, Kevin, Philip, Mary, David, Donna, Brent, and Martin. Thanks to each and every one of you. We very much appreciate you becoming members of the station and becoming members of the Soundbites family. And for the rest of you, it's time for you to join them. It is time for you to pick up the phone and call 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or better yet, head on over to jazz901.org, click the blue Donate Now button, and donate right online. It's secure, it's convenient, it's quick. You're sitting at a computer anyway. Do it. Do it now. Do it while you're thinking about it. And for those of you who listen to this podcast, and there are many hundreds of you, most of whom are not members, it would be ideal if you would also become a member. Remember, no pledge too small and definitely no pledge too large. We are more than happy to take those $1,000 pledges, but we are also happy to take those $10 pledges and those $5 pledges.
Yep.
And if you like, you can become a member at the Jazz-O-Matic way, in the Jazz-O-Matic way, where for a minimum of $10 a month, every month, you just, that gets taken right out of your account with, of course, your permission. And we don't go farther than that. It's got to be with your permission.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny bite every month, and it helps us a huge amount. So, again, you count on us, and now we're counting on you. So, please, pick up that phone, make that call, get on your computer, and make that pledge at jazz901.org. Click the blue Donate Now button and become a member.
One thing, while they're there filling it out, They have the option when you go down, folks, and there's great gifts that you can
scroll down.
You scroll down the different ones that you can get for your membership, you know, the various gifts. There's also a spot where you can sit there and say you're pledging for sound bites. You can designate what, you know, program that you're supporting.
And we have somebody taking calls. Is that Marie in there? I can't quite tell.
Yeah, I can't really tell.
Maybe she'll wave at us when she hears this.
Yeah.
What's the delay? 8 seconds?
10 seconds.
Assuming she's listening.
She might not be listening.
Wake up, Marie. Give her a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Probably has the volume down so she can hear the phone.
Yeah,
exactly.
In
right.
there, you can turn it right on and off.
Just like Gary did from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hi. I'm one of the Garys you mentioned on the list.
Oh, thank you.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. It's just a reminder to some of your older listeners who might be relying on retirement income. I get some of my retirement income from an individual retirement account. And some of your retired listeners may not remember or may not get good tax advice to know that they can make a tax-deductible contribution directly from their IRA that will be sent to you in a check, and they can still take it off on their income tax
right.
as a charitable deduction. And at the same time, they're drawing down what's called the required minimum distribution. So it reduces their taxable income. I know that's sort of a nerdy explanation, but...
It's a winner-winner chicken dinner.
But so as you probably know, the standard deduction has gone up quite a bit. So
right.
Not many people can take itemized deductions, but my tax person reminded me and helped me with my taxes this year that you can take what's called an above-the-line $300 credit. For instance, if you make $10,000 and you give away $1,000, or say you give away $300, that $300 can be taken right off the top, and they can also count that charitable deduction as another $300 off their taxable income. So if any of your retired listeners who get IRAs send in $300, they're going to get $600 off their taxable income. It's not a lot of money, but every bit counts, particularly when you're retired.
Hey, you're doubling your investment.
Yeah, you're doing good and doing well at the same time. And
exactly.
That's the way to do it.
That's a great tip, Gary. Thank you very much.
And I do have a question.
Yes.
If you've got time for it. These are the sort of stupid questions I bother you about, but
that's
here's
fine.
Another one. I'm on LibreOffice, and I have a document open, and it's very small. It's very miniaturized, and all I need to know is what to click to get it up to the standard letter size, 8.5. You know what I mean, to get it up to full size.
Well, I'm not entirely sure what you mean. Is the window small, or is the text small in the window?
Well,
is the print
the window
too small?
Small. And the text is proportional. It's not the font. It's
right.
The size of the whole document. And
But again, is it the window, or is if you print the document, it prints out super small?
No, if I printed it out, it would. That and I've done it. It comes out full size.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it looks on screen.
That's right. And I'd like to edit it. And, I mean, I can do it, but it's pretty miniaturized. I'm sure it's just some... And I fixed it. This is the trouble with being older. I love computers and learn more about them all the time. But it's memory loss, just remembering how to do it.
Sure. Well, it's not storage, it's retrieval.
That's right.
okay, that's right. So here's the thing. If the window is the correct size and just the text in it is small, then you should be able to pull down the view menu and increase the size of what you're seeing. I forget. I don't have LibreOffice in front of me. I really have to start bringing my Linux computer, not my Chromebook. But I think down in the lower right, there's a little slider that lets you set how big the text is.
Yeah, how much of the screen. Oh, well, actually adjust, you know.
The percentage of the of view. So, yeah, if, you know, you want it 100%, it might be down to 10%.
Right. And yeah, because there's a middle bar. In the center is like, you know, it fits right there, but you can slide it one way or smaller to get the whole page on to your screen or just, you know, keep zooming it out and just maybe the top quarter of it shows.
Right. So
and
there's three. Go ahead.
Let's say if the window's too small, can't you just drag the edge of the window to make the window bigger?
If the window's too small, it works like any other window.
Yeah.
You can make it bigger. But if it's the text in the window,
yep,
then the way you make it bigger is either, well, there's three ways. first way is to use that slider in the lower right.
Okay.
And set it to 100%. The second way is, I think it's control plus and minus. I think.
Yeah, that's usually the way it is for
font size in programs to make the font bigger and smaller, not the window bigger and smaller.
Well, there's a zoom, and there's something that controls the zoom from the keyboard. But there's also
control plus
under
and control
view,
minus.
You should find zoom as well.
Yeah, I don't have it on this computer either.
But
I found it.
Oh, there you go.
The magic word was zoom, and you were right. You go into the view menu, you go all the way to the bottom, it says where it says zoom, click on that, and I just clicked on 100% and it solved it.
There you go.
There you go.
You did it.
Thank you, Gary.
You're very welcome, and good luck with the fun drive.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes it just helps to know what word they called it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, folks, help Gary, in solidarity with Gary, in an appreciation for him getting the right answer, make a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org, particularly those of you who download the podcast or are watching this on YouTube at a later date. Look, if you're watching this on YouTube, you have access to the internet. Having access to the internet means you have access to jazz901.org. Having access to 901.org means you have access to the Donate Now button, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Make that pledge. We need your support. Like I said, you count on us.
Yeah.
Now we're counting on
you. We're here 52, for the most part, 52 weeks out of the year.
Depending on where Easter and Christmas fall.
Yeah.
Well, where Christmas falls.
Christmas and New Year's.
Right.
Those are about the only two exceptions. If Christmas is on a Saturday or New Year's Day is on a Saturday, we don't.
If one is, the other will be.
Which they are this year, so we won't be here Christmas Day or New Year's Day.
That's right. That's right. So 50 weeks a year. 50 weeks a year
every
we come here.
Only out of a leap year.
It's 51 this year and 51 next year.
All right.
New Year's Day is next year.
we're here 51 days, so you could donate $50 and get a free week. Think about that. A free week. Just donate. Make that pledge for $50, and you get a free week. It's unbelievable what you can do with your money. And as Gary said, you can pledge $300 and get a $600 deduction on your taxes.
But check with your accountant.
Check with your accountant, yada, yada.
But
we're
it's
not
still,
accountants.
Yeah, because we're a nonprofit, it, you know, you could take it as a tax deduction.
Well, everybody's situation is a little different, so check with your accountant. But you know what? You can check with your accountant on Monday and then get right online at jazz901.org. Click that donate button and make your donation.
You can make a bigger pledge if it's deductible.
If it's deductible, ask them
and
how much
the
you
thing
can
of it is, so even if it isn't deductible, think of the money that we're saving most of you folks with the information that we give you. Each week we keep coming out with different information, and this is a whole spiel I'll get into the next hour. But because I got thinking about the past, you know, because somebody said, well, how long have you guys been on? And I go, 31 years.
They go, wow, that's a long time. And I go, yeah, we've been doing computers that long.
I think we just lost internet.
Oh, we might have. We've been on the air 31 years, 7 months, and 13 days.
The thing of it is, though, folks, throughout those years, you know, we keep coming with the answers for you folks.
We're back.
Gone for a second, back again. And, you know, we're here for you. And you know that you can rely on us, that we're going to have the answers here every Saturday. Like I say, barring Christmas and New Year's. That's the only time, you know, you can rely on us not being here. Otherwise, you can pick up that phone if you got an issue, which you've heard. If you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know we've had a number of folks call in panicking. Oh, I can't do this and this. And all right, well, let's walk you through it. And we do.
And you can also check with your employer, because many companies will match donations you make to charitable contributions.
Yeah,
we have a partial list on the Jazz 901 website. But yeah, so that your tax-deductible donation, you can go to lowering your taxes next year. It can be doubled against you. It can be doubled by your employer. So there's a lot of potential there.
Yep. So definitely, we need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Or, you know, you can do Jazz-O-Matic. Figure out what 300 divided by 12 is. Pledge that every month. Get the full tax deduction. Get that double back. And you're on your way.
And the other big thing, though, is, you know, their back is the cards, the diner cards.
Oh, we love the diner cards.
And the biggest thing, folks, you got to realize, we're already, everybody's starting to get their shots and everything else, and a lot of folks are really looking forward to the summer months, where now with restaurants and that opening back up, you're going to be able to go out, and I know everybody's just aching to get back out there, go dine outside, you know, and enjoy the fresh air, just catch up with other friends and that. Well, what better way to do it is if you can go to one of the restaurants that's on the membership card. Boom, you're out there having a great time, and you're going to save on your dinner. And there's wineries. I mean, go to the Jazz website and check out the Jazz membership card that you get along with your pledge. There are some great benefits. So not only you get, you know, what you paid for as a membership as a tax deduction, now turn around, Jazz is giving it back to you when you go to dinner on one of those places that's on the list, and the list is constantly growing. Each month, it seems like Rob and Derek and them are out there looking for other places to add to it. That you can go out there and say, oh yeah, here, I got a Jazz card, so one of the dinners could be half price.
Every year except this year, this last year, we saved more than we spent on our membership. Just by using that card. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Make that call, make that pledge, and we will be back. You can call 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Back in just a couple minutes, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
I think he's got that kind of messed up because he's got this background music and then Paul Connolly after that.
And that's a new one. I don't know that song.
I don't know that song either. Not that it's a song. It's just a beat.
There's probably a song in there somewhere.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just enough for YouTube to kick us off. Actually, for
you're right.
For those of you that were watching the YouTube stream, we had an internet to hiccup here, so YouTube canceled the stream. So now you have to go and find the new stream, but we're back.
I don't see the new stream yet. I don't know why. That's just me. I always have problems every week. At any rate, I'm going to abandon my planned news and actually talk about the law that Governor Cuomo just signed, where low-income New Yorkers will be able to subscribe to internet service at speed starting at 25 megabits per second up, 10 megs down for $15 a month. Now, in order to qualify, not just everybody's going to get
it. Yeah, not as.
In order to qualify, a consumer needs to show proof of active enrollment in Medicaid, free or discounted school lunches, the SNAP program, which many people still refer to as food stamps, and a senior or disability rent increase exemption. Almost every internet service provider of consequence in New York will be required to introduce that low-income discounted internet program by June of 2021. Consumers will be offered at least two options depending on the technological capability of a provider's network. So for $15 a month, you get 25 down and 10 up. For $20 a month, you get 200 down and still 10 up. And those rates will be fixed for about 5 years. Now, here's the thing. 25 down and 10 up should be enough for...
Email.
No. 25 down and 10 up should be enough for video chatting. So for people who are doing school by video chat or business meetings by video chat, should be enough depending on how many people are in the chat and what they're doing and and who else in the house is, watching Netflix or whatever that's all about. So $25 a month may do it. But certainly we've discovered over the extent of this pandemic that internet service is not a luxury, but really a necessity, which is not a right, but a necessity.
Read so many stories about parents who had to take their kids to park in front of the coffee shop to use their Wi-Fi so they could go to classes.
Right. And it's very disheartening for a kid to have to freeze when they're on that kind of call or to have, be unable to get into a class because they don't have internet at all or their internet is super slow. And I get it. And particularly at that age, it's a real issue. So if we can give them a leg up, we're helping kids. How is that a bad thing?
And I posted the link to the New York State website on how to find those services and qualify for them as well.
Right.
So across any county in New York currently.
Right. So I'm very excited to hear that that's going to be done, and I'm very very pleased that they're making the minimum internet connectivity at least 25 megabits. I'd certainly prefer to see it much higher than that, but of course, there are.
Yeah, don't go calling and complaining because all of a sudden he's done with his homework and he wants to get on there and start playing some games and all that.
Right.
With his friends, and it's not meant for that.
Right.
What's becoming sort of interesting and ironic in the the historical aspect of it. All the kids playing video games for years are now growing up. And they're perfect for military service, remotely piloting drones.
Yeah.
As you sit at a screen. In fact, I saw a cartoon the other day about a drone that got shot down, and the pilot was able to eject safely and only bruised his arm when he fell on the floor.
From 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Two things. I have a laptop that's starting to sound like a vacuum cleaner when I open it, when I turn it on. Does that mean it's dying?
Yes and no.
It means it's overheating.
Yeah.
Why is it overheating?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So it's any one of 1,000 things. Look, the fan in a laptop is thermally coupled to the speed. So the hotter it gets, the faster the fan goes. So either the fan is working overtime because the computer's overheating, mm-hmm. or the computer's overheating because the fan is blocked, for example.
Or not turning at the speed it should. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it could be turning pretty fast, but not fast enough to keep it cool.
Our customers always call it a jet engine. It's not a turbine. It's an EDF.
Yeah.
It could be a runaway process.
Well, it may not be ducted, but it's certainly an EDF.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be a runaway process that's causing the CPU to run hot, which is causing the fan to spin up. Or it could be that the fan blades or the heat channel is too dusty, and it has to run fast to get enough airflow to go through.
Right.
Especially if you have pets that are
or
shed.
Or you're a smoker.
Or a smoker, yeah. Oh. Something that can get in there. We've taken some computers apart, and it is just so clogged with dust across the heat sinks and fan blades that you're surprised it can turn at all.
And right. Animals, if you have cats.
Yep.
And that,
I do.
Because, see, a computer is like a huge vacuum cleaner, as I always described it, because it's pulling air in from the front, and it's blowing out the back. So
is there any way to check without taking it apart if the vents are...
Well, check the vents directly, visually. Yeah. You should see whether or not they're blocked.
Okay.
You can often take compressed gas or even your a vacuum cleaner and try to blow the vents out. You want to be very careful about not getting any moisture in. You know, those
well, that's where a vacuum cleaner, if you have a vacuum cleaner with a hose on it, that will pull the air into the vacuum cleaner. And you can run it, like Steve was saying, around the vents, around the back by the power supply. Up in the front, you'll see some slots in that. Run it along the slots, because what it's going to do is pull it all out. And you're not blowing it around inside, like the chance of moisture with canned air.
Yeah, you have to be careful with the compressed gas. That Boyle's law of expansion of gases. When you pull the trigger, the can will get cold and will cause moisture to potentially come out in the airstream as well. So
that's why a vacuum cleaner is
also,
always hung up on
it. The reason you have a problem is because air is being pushed into those vents. If you push more air into those vents, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem.
Yeah,
now,
the thing is,
you might see the fan. Now, this is, I take it, a desktop?
No, it's a laptop.
Laptop. All right. Also, check. That's the one fan. He's not gonna see. I was thinking out loud here. The fan on the bottom, if that's... gummed up a little bit.
See the vents.
Yeah. Again, if you put the vacuum cleaner around that,
every vent you can find.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll try that. It's not a consistent. I did it yesterday. It was sometimes it was loud, sometimes it sort of almost stop, and then sometimes it got loud again. But okay, I'll try that.
And check your process monitor to make sure it isn't a runaway process.
No, it's not sitting on your lap or that, is it? On a surface where it can't breathe.
It was on my lap.
See, sometimes if you're sitting on your lap and say, all right, you're sitting on the couch and you got that vent is being plugged.
By me.
Yeah,
by you.
Mm-hmm. That's going to also cut off the airflow.
Okay.
The other thing is to definitely make sure you dance a security tango.
Yeah.
Because if there is some sort of runaway process, it may not be one you care to run.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, I have another question that's completely different.
Okay.
I heard of another browser called, I think it's called Brave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any opinion on that?
It's supposed to be a very good browser. I haven't played much with it myself yet.
Mm-hmm.
They claim to be privacy-focused.
Right. Yeah.
Although they got in trouble a few months ago for selling customer data that they said they weren't collecting in the first place. So hopefully they fix that problem.
They were selling data that they didn't have?
Well, they said they don't collect any data, and that's part of their privacy.
Yeah.
And someone found them that they were selling data, so how did you get that data?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'll give it a try.
Okay. Give it a shot.
So
let us know what you think.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for being there for us all.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, we have customers that bring in the iMac, the all-in-one. It's got a big fan in the back, but it draws air in through the speaker grills on the bottom.
Yeah.
and then blows it out the back.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when they move the computer to carry it in for service, gravity pulls the dust a little bit back down out of the speaker vents. And so you set it down on top of the desk, and that little bit of vibration, and you see these giant dust bunnies coming out of the bottom because that's the intake vent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the vacuum cleaner up to the fan in the back to blow it all the way back out. And, yeah, there's a lot in there.
Yeah. We, there's, there, what, back in the day, of course, you guys are more conversant with this than I am. There was always that moment when you break open a desktop or a laptop where you think, I don't know what I'm going to find in here. I don't know if I want to look.
I took out of one computer. It was a desktop. Matter of fact, it was one of those full towers. Now, you take a 1 gallon Ziploc garbage bag, you know, a storage bag. I stuffed it.
I remember that.
Full of all the stuff that I pulled out of this one tower. And there was dead flies in there. There was a few spiders. And it, literally, I had it setting on our counter for the longest time. Folks go, what's that? I said, that's what we pulled out of one computer.
You used to have a page on your website with computers like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually had a faculty member bring in his home laptop, and we normally discourage that, but we thought, okay, we'll do this. We opened it up, and there was a mouse nest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. With a live mouse.
Ah. Oh, I've had a dead mouse. I've had a dead mouse.
We've had used dried up spider webs, which means the spider lived in there for a while and mm-hmm. then moved on.
And moved on.
Yep. One thing, thankfully, I never ran into was any snakes.
Yeah.
You know, little garden snakes or anything else.
It's warm in there. And so, you know, particularly during the winter, things are going to want to crawl in if they can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Google dusty computer or dirty computer and you find some horrible things.
Don't Google it. Don't do it.
That's worse than Walmart pictures.
I remember reading a story where a kid and his mom brought a computer into a store and mom was convinced there were cockroaches in the computer and you have to go clean it out. And the clerk is trying to say, you know, we don't handle, you know, biological things like that. And the kid leans over and says, just please go say you did it. Mom got into my brownies.
Oh! Oops.
Yeah, brownies and computers don't really necessarily mix. Anyway, I'm actually pretty excited about this whole $15 a month thing because there are people who just really are being left behind and just as good human beings, we should be against other people being left behind.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like we've talked about for the longest time, third world countries have faster and cheaper internet than we do.
Not so third world anymore.
No.
In terms of internet access, we're the third world country.
Yeah, we are way behind. And, you know, it's like, yeah, we should maybe start catching up, you know, and everybody should just have access to it. You know, I mean, it's great for commerce and everything else. It's a win-win all the way around. And like you said, especially the kids, that's our future there, folks. You know, and how they're going to learn and what they've been through this past year as far as the pandemic and having to learn. You know, as frustrating as parents, how hard it's been to get them to do their homework and everything else because you've got to sit there and kind of watch over because they're doing schooling from home right now. So faster internet would be a lot better. And just to have internet, period, would be great for a lot of folks.
I have friends in Japan and friends in the Philippines and places like that. And we were on a video chat and one of them said, wow, you're clear. I said, well, I'm on gigabit internet. And they said, yeah, me too. But I'm given to understand that's not normal for you people. No, it really is not.
We're lucky if we have as fast as their crappy hotel internet.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And they're not rich people. They're not, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know rich people.
When we were on our trip, we went to one hotel where the internet didn't work, and I had to go down and have them reboot the router. And she said, oh, okay, I'll get my husband to do that. He knows about those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that happen as well, where I would go down and say, look, I can fix that if you want me to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got your router password is still the default, and I rebooted the router for you, and you should put a password back on there.
Yeah, right. I changed the password for you, and this is
it now. Is it. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm just pretty excited to see that is in fact, and it's not a possibility. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's already been signed.
Yeah, it's still not terribly fast. Certainly not compared to the rest of the world.
But it's something at least.
Still, it's still good.
Better
it's
than a poke good. In the eye with a sharp stick.
Exactly right. And yeah, you know, I've said this before. I'm working with a company that does video conferencing, and we're finding that you do need a decent amount of bandwidth when you get a lot of people on. When you've got 25, 30 people on, you know, for example, we did a concert with a group, and we had, I don't remember how many hundreds of people on, but some of them were really fine, and others were choppy.
Yeah.
Couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing we can do about that end. And I told people that ahead of time. I said, some of you are going to have a problem because there are so many of you on. That's the problem with having... it was a big event with a very well-known band, and they were... they drew an insane number of people.
And that's going to be, I think, for a long while yet. It's still going to be the way. The other thing that we already talked about is that's the way of the future, folks. A lot of companies are finding, like we've talked about before, business can still be done with your workers at home. And if anything, it's going to save you money as far as office space. You're getting a lot more productivity out of them because they have this flexibility of being home and working from the comforts of their home and not having to, you know, worry about, oh, they're called in today. You know, even if they don't feel like working right now, you know, in a couple hours, they might feel a lot better and do a little bit.
I've
the whole attitudes change.
Yep. I've said this for decades, and it's more true now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is an amplifier. It makes good employees better and bad employees worse.
Sorts them out.
I'm a big fan of both of those
because
it means that you have, if you need to get rid of a bad worker, you have more reason. And if they're a good worker, you get more productivity out of them. The internet in general is an amplifier, and particularly nowadays, my daughter is working.
I was going to say, your daughter is a perfect example how you don't have to be at that location. How many thousands of miles away is she from her work?
Three.
Yeah.
About probably, well, two.
Yeah. Still in all. And she can work from home, and they're saving, and they don't have to have this office space now for her to worry about. The work's getting done. That's their bottom line, is the work getting done and in a timely manner. You're not constantly having to hound them in that. And that, again, points out your point that, you know, if you've got a bad employee, it's going to stick out because they're not going to be there. You know, you're going to be, turn around and say, you know, hey, you're falling behind. It gives you justification.
That's exactly right. And my daughter even said that one day. She said, I don't know how they feel about me. I said, are you doing your job? Yeah. Are they happy with your work? Yeah. Then where's the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
But, right. And so that's how it works. She's a very good employee. They love her. And, you know, when they call her at what's 6 in the morning for them and is 8 or 9 in the morning for her, you know, she's there. She's ready to work. If they don't have anything, she's cleaning up old work or whatever it has to be.
Yeah.
And it's all good.
Win-win.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I say, this is definitely, I think, going to be the way of the future. Granted, you know, the kids, they need to get back to school. There's no doubt there.
Yeah.
But as far as other big employers and everything else, you're seeing it, folks. I mean, so many businesses have closed down, but yet they're still doing business.
Yeah.
And they found that they can.
And I kind of feel bad for people who own property.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I were a business, I would be thinking twice about renewing a lease.
Yeah.
If I can get the same amount of work out of my employees without having to pay for office space, I win.
Being able to move down to a smaller office, even?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And rather than like a floor, I need a couple offices.
Well, that's where I was saying what's going to really take off, I think, down the road is, like you said, a lot of these places are, you know, doing work from home. Some of these other bigger buildings, I think you could see them be set up as conference rooms. Whereas
shared office space.
Where a company can sit there and say, all right, I need to rent this office space or a big meeting room for, say, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, because we're calling all our people in for a big conference or for one-day conference. Mm-hmm. Have them all come in for a general meeting.
And now that
we're just rent that one space for one day.
And most of the time, you don't even need that because you can do video conferences.
Yeah.
How many six-year-olds are saying, that could have been an email?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, that's the
least common denominator. You don't need a meeting if it could have been an email. You don't need an email if it could have been a text. You don't need a text if it isn't important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see our whole lifestyle, even once this pandemic is over with, and changing. You know, folks not having to fight and drive to work and pay, say, the parking fees and everything out the monthly. That saves them money, too. You know, if they don't have to park downtown and pay that monthly gouge for parking,
right?
Boom, there's more money in their employees' pocket, which makes them happy.
Right. It's almost like getting a raise.
Yeah. It is. It literally is.
You know, you pay $60 or $80 a month for a parking space. I'd rather have that money in my pocket.
Yeah.
I remember driving into Boston on I-93, and there's a giant parking garage, you know, like 20, 30 minutes outside of Boston, and said, if you lived here, you'd only pay $20 a month for parking.
There is no Boston, Massachusetts. I maintain this precisely. I have been to Boston twice. The first time was a blizzard. I saw nothing.
Yeah.
The second time was a hurricane. I saw nothing. For all I know, the plane circled Rochester, landed in on a movie set, and shuffled me into a hotel for 3 days. Both times, I saw no Boston. There is no Boston.
One time I was in a plane taking off from Logan Airport, and I swear our nose wheel was off the ground when we decelerated really, really fast and made a sharp turn. I think we ran out of runway.
Oh, boy. Okay.
The scariest flight that I have ever been on, and I thought I was going to wind up owing the airlines money.
Clean your seat?
No, my late wife almost ripped the armrest off the airplane is when we were coming into San Diego. Because there you come over, and then they do a 45-degree angle down.
Yeah.
And it's quick down, boom. And you think you're going to crash because it's going down this 45-degree angle. It's like, oh, she was ready to rip my arm apart.
You can find lists of scariest airports in the world on YouTube. And San Diego's in there because of the giant buildings that some idiot built at the end of the runway.
Mm-hmm. All right. That music tells us you have wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but don't go away. We've got a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. What's that? Member-supported? I don't even know what that means. Well, let me tell you. It means that we are supported by member donations, and we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Look, you count on us, and now we're counting on you. While we're in this break, you've got a couple of minutes to make the call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And you people who are listening to the podcast, the many hundreds of you listening to the podcast, pause it. Make the pledge. Come back. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand.
More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And yes, we are in the midst of a pledge drive. We only come to you twice a year to ask for your generous support to keep this station, and especially for us, this program, on the air. And the way you do that is you call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or of course you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org, just like Jeffrey did. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your very generous donation. We are honored. Thank you for becoming a member. You are I think he's a renewing member. I can't tell. I don't know. But thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate it very much. And you can join Jeffrey and Al and all the other people from last week by making the call and making the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Bob did from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Oh, just like started a discussion about Cuomo's plan there. How much is my internet bill going to go up to pay for that?
I don't know. I did not write the bill.
I know, but this is the question. This is something that should be considered. Another way to look at it, is it even legal for the state to force a company to offer a service it doesn't want to offer?
I don't know. I did not write the bill. I'm sorry, I just don't have any answers to these things. These are not... I'm sure that the people who wrote the bill are lawyers, and they have some idea of what the law actually is.
And how it's going to be paid for.
And I think both locally, at least, the Frontier and Spectrum already had low-income services
available. Yes,
they do.
Here in this town, there will not be a major impact because we already had those available.
Well, Frontier is fairly low cost because it's fairly low speed service to begin with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it is more universal than, say, cable or green light wiring.
And the thing that is, though, is some of these companies, by doing so, are probably going to wind up being offered tax breaks by the by the government for doing this service. I mean, they're not going to do it for free, and they're probably going to get some type of tax break, I would assume.
Wouldn't this be the same company that New York State Cuomo tried to drive out of the state a couple of years ago?
That is one of them. There are many.
Yep. And he didn't try to
this
drive them
statewide.
Out. They broke an agreement.
Yeah.
And they were being penalized for it.
Right. Look, you make an agreement, you sign a contract, and you break that contract. What do you think should happen?
And the agreement was that they would provide internet at low cost.
Yes.
I think the agreement should have never been made.
Doesn't matter. They signed it. When a company signs an agreement and then breaks that agreement, what do you think should happen?
That is a good question. There's plenty of room for discussion on that.
There's no discussion on that. They broke an agreement, and there were penalties in the agreement that they signed that they were liable for when they broke the agreement. If they signed an agreement they didn't intend to keep, and they knew there were penalties in there if they broke that agreement, they're idiots.
But didn't they sign it under duress?
No, they did not.
Nobody holds a gun to them.
Yeah, I think they did, because this was back during the time when...
Okay, you look, we can argue that all you like, but yeah. The fact is they signed an agreement and they broke the agreement, and then the penalties that were part of that agreement actually went into effect.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to raise the question about who is paying for it.
Ultimately, the taxpayers pay for everything in New York State. How is that even a question?
And if a little kid gets an education because I'm subsidizing his internet, I'm all for that.
I'm all for it. I'm happy to do it.
Right. I don't want people to grow up dumb and stupid. And that's how
and
we
I
get,
certainly don't want to live with dumb and stupid people.
And that's how we get people thinking there's microchips in the COVID vaccine.
That's exactly right. We don't need stupid people. We need smart people. And if this helps people be smart, I'm willing to pay a little more to deal with that.
He's laughing, but somebody did raise the idea of putting microchips in people's track vaccines.
Everybody, we've heard that.
Yeah.
We've heard that, and it's the people who think that are idiots. If they wanted to track us, they would just use the products right. We voluntarily keep in our pockets all day long, our phones.
You're already carrying a tracker, and you're volunteering to give that tracking information to so many companies already.
That's exactly
but,
right.
But not the government. I guess that's what makes it okay. It's okay for Google and Amazon and Facebook to have your tracking information, but not the government.
And you don't think the government has it?
Well, yeah. The government is a bit more powerful.
If you really want to keep the government from tracking you, you go completely off the grid. Throw away every electronic device you've got. And yes, Dave, do that. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. So you can get off the grid and go live in a hut somewhere in Colorado on a mountain. And then you're off the grid.
We got a couple text questions here. It says, can you explain cryptocurrency and why/how someone can trust that your investments and won't end up in bit heaven?
Yeah. Okay. So cryptocurrency is basically a currency that is unbacked by anything
except math.
Except maybe, well, no, I mean, the math is what gets you the coins, but what backs those coins? So, for example, Mt. Gak, mm-hmm. right, the original cryptocurrency place, the guy who owned Mt. Gak just took all the money and left. Nobody could stop him. They've never found him. They have no idea what's going on. So it's a currency that's not actually backed by anything, not even the fiat of a government. And you may argue that we are not on the gold standard. Of course, we were never really on the gold standard. We were on the silver standard. For many decades, money was backed by silver, not gold. That was a very recent and very short-lived development. But we're not even on that anymore. What we are now on is the fiat of the government.
What's your money says backed by the good faith of the United States government?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. But there is no good faith in cryptocurrency. There is nobody held accountable for cryptocurrency. So basically the idea
is not beholden to any one country.
Right. The idea is you do something that gives you a bit of cryptocurrency. Often it's finding a prime number or something along that line. And then at some point you find one and you get 1/100th of a Bitcoin.
Right. So you can earn Bitcoins and other coins like
right.
that.
Or, of course, you can buy them.
At an exchange that you have to trust.
That you have to trust to take your money and give you a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then you have to find someone who will take that Bitcoin. So cryptocurrency is pretty much a multi-level marketing thing. The people who got in early
made
some money, and really nobody else really is.
And especially now that the prices are fluctuating so rapidly, Bitcoin is up to $60,000 per coin. So if you did get in early, you have made a fortune. Although they always interview that guy that paid 28 bitcoins for a pizza back when it was 50 cents a coin.
Right.
But
he got a pizza.
He got a pizza out of it. Yeah. So the general consensus is that if you can mine bitcoins, and you buy special Bitcoin mining computers to do that with. And hope that it doesn't cost as much in electricity as you can earn in your bitcoins.
Which it does,
which
by
it
the
does
way.
In many, many cases, yeah. Then you don't leave the coins in the exchange. You exchange it and get your money out as quick as you can.
Get the money and run.
Yeah.
Assuming you can.
Yep.
And also this whole cryptocurrency craze is why you can't buy a good video card right now.
Yeah.
And why there are chip shortages and video card shortages and everything shortages. because so many people are buying them in a desperate attempt to be able to mine Bitcoins. It sounds like a great deal. You set up a computer, you put a half a dozen good video cards in it, you start the program running, and you make money. The problem is you don't make money because it's
a
multi-level marketing screen.
Long time.
Yeah.
And you're at the bottom of the pyramid. So.
And we often joke about the stock market. You know, if you have money to throw away, you can invest in the stock market. You might make some money. You'll probably lose your money. But then we started the whole day trading thing where if, I can buy a stock in the morning at $1.25 and sell it in the afternoon at $1.27. I made money that day.
Right.
And then in the long run, people will buy dollars and then convert them to pounds and then convert them to euros and then convert them to yen and then convert them to dollars. And along the way, you've gained a little profit.
Right.
So there, people can make money doing that, and it's just it's wizardry.
It's wizardry. But cryptocurrency is very seductive because it seems like all you do is set up a computer and make money.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it isn't that at all.
10 years ago, that was the way it worked.
Right.
All right, we got another one, which is really a good one. Just re-upped my membership. It's a bargain, given the money I have saved over the years by avoiding continual software and hardware upgrades. Both LibreOffice and Ubuntu are running strong on a 9-year-old Toshiba. Best wishes for the membership drive, Jeff in Louisville podcast. P.S. Isn't it time for you to wake up Uncle Dave?
Yeah.
For a story. Maybe. Could be one brewing.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, an unsolicited testimonial.
I had to get that one out there.
Yes, you did. And we are in the middle of a pledge drive. It is twice a year that we come to you and ask you for your pledge and your donation. And it's easy to do. If you want to talk to the lovely Marie, you can call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to a human being, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. No donation too small. Definitely no donation too large. We are far behind the polka guys, and we need your help to catch up. So make that call. Make that pledge. If you're pledging, if you're listening to the podcast, then make the pledge online, jazz901.org. Click the big blue Donate Now button, and you're on your way. In the meantime, while you're making your pledge, we're going to talk to Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. And we will get there with the pledge. I know we will.
I hope so.
pardon me. Brenda has called me, asked me to help her get her computer running faster. And one of the things I asked her to do was get her username and tell me what version she's running. She's running Windows Home. So I can't use the Windows remote access. You have to have Pro or Enterprise.
Right.
What do you recommend I use instead? I don't really want to pay for it. I'm a free guy.
Sure.
I've heard Chrome works, but I don't know how much. Is there anything out there that you could recommend I use instead of the Windows?
Yeah. Chrome does have a remote desktop program. It is available at remotedesktop.google.com.
Yeah.
And it works quite well, as a matter of fact. What you can do is you go there and you say you want to share your screen or access your computer, and you're pretty much on your way. It is secure, it is easy to do, and it's really simple. So your friend really just needs to go to remotedesktop.google.com, click the Access My Computer button, and follow the instructions. Pretty simple.
You have to have Chrome installed for that, though.
Yeah, you do have to have Chrome installed on your machine. The Chrome browser.
Right.
Maybe not anymore. One of the things I have seen people do a lot is, since so many people have like Zoom already installed, that you can set up a Zoom meeting with them, and then they can share their screen to you. You can see their screen, but you can't control it.
Control it, right?
But you can at least see the screen and ask them to do things.
Right, but with the Chrome Remote Desktop website,
you can take control.
You can take control.
And that's a good one to use, then.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You have a great day, guys.
You too. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of meetings, it's not Zoom. It's Mastermind Lounge. But every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we have the Soundbites Lounge, where we meet for an hour and answer people's computer questions and chit-chat about this and that and the other thing. And it's a good time to be had by all. All you have to do is at Sunday night at 9 o'clock, you just go to soundbites.org/lounge. And that will take you to the page. And I'm just reminding myself of that. Yes, soundbites.org/lounge. And that will take you to the page. And Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, there will be a link to the video chat. And before you do, please feel free to read through that page. So there's just a couple of things that you need to be aware of, how to allow your microphone and video, you know, all that stuff. So that's all on that page. It's pretty easy to do. So read through that before the time, and you're on your way.
Nice.
And we'd love to see you there. So that would be great. So let's segue from the cryptocurrency to the chip shortages. How many years will the ongoing chip shortage affect technology firms across the world? This week, multiple tech executives offered their own dismal estimates as part of their usual public financial disclosures, with the worst one coming in at a couple of years. That nasty estimate comes from Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger, who offered that vague timeline to the Washington Post in an interview on Tuesday. He clarified that an estimate for how long it would take the company to build capacity to potentially address supply shortages. The conversation came as Intel offered to step up for two supply chains particularly pinched by silicon drought: medical supplies and in-car computer systems. In previous statements, Gelsinger pointed to Intel's current $20 billion plan to build a pair of factories in Arizona, and this week's interview added praise for President Joe Biden's proposed $50 billion chip production infrastructure, though Gelsinger indicated that Biden should be ready to spend more than that. TSMC CEO C.C. Wei offered a similarly dire estimate to investors on Thursday, saying the Taiwan-based company hoped to offer more capacity for meeting retail and manufacturing demand in 2023. TSMC, coincidentally, is also moving forward with a manufacturing plant of its own in Arizona. Big times coming for Arizona, which could cost up to $12 billion, despite the company clarifying that it intends to prioritize research, development, and production in its home nation. Okay, graphics card and SoC producer, that's a system on a chip, producer NVIDIA joined the grim estimate club this week, though NVIDIA has a more optimistic belief, since they're the one who's everybody's buying their stuff, belief that it will emerge with sufficient supply to support sequential growth beyond fiscal Q1 2022, according to CFO Colette Kress. Until then, we expect demand to continue to exceed supply for much of this year, she added. But as tech companies scramble to navigate natural disasters, exponential customer demand, and building of brand new facilities, some questions remain unanswered. How will so much scaling up of new factories turn out? Will they meet their construction deadlines? Will they be anywhere near as efficient as promised or hoped? Once their lines are open, automakers and gamers alike will be watching with keen interest. So, were you thinking of buying a new computer? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Also, of course, pledge online, jazz901.org. So this goes right back to the cryptocurrency thing we were talking about. People are buying a lot of computers, a lot of high-end chips, and a lot of very high-end video cards in a desperate hope that they will be able to mine a Bitcoin or two some sort of crypto. There's Bitcoin, Litecoin, Dogecoin, all kinds of coins. None of which are backed by anything, by the way. It's all smoke and mirrors.
It's highly fungible.
It's like the old pyramid schemes. If you had gotten in on the very top, you made money. If you're down a few layers, forget it. Save your money.
Yeah, you're not in such good shape. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is it?
Cecile.
Cecile from Rochester, New York. Hi, Cecile. Yes. What's up?
My computer, I have a login for with a PIN, and my computer right now will not. I touch the 1, the 2, 3, or the 4, and it doesn't work. All my other keys work, and I don't know what's wrong. And my PIN, of course, has a 4 in it, and it also has the at sign, which is the shift of the 2. And that won't work, so I can't log into my computer at all.
Okay. Is this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a laptop, Toshiba.
Okay. Many Toshibas have a key on them, a function key along the top that switches the top row on and off numbers.
Uh-huh. I'm looking
it
at
may
it.
Turn,
right
it may turn it into like a cursor control.
Right. Or any one of 100 other things.
Yeah.
But there is going to be essentially a numlock key.
A numlock key. I do have a numlock key over here so that I have over the side, I have numbers.
So you do have a keypad on the side.
Yes. And I can type, you know, my first two numbers, which I couldn't do previously. But when I go to shift, the two key to get the at sign, I can't do it.
Yeah, it sounds like that. They're turned off across the top.
Yep.
Just the 1, 2, 3, and 4. I can type the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 0 and have no problem.
Right. Honestly, it's generally function. Hold down the function key. It could be function labeled key. FN.
FN, yes.
Hold that down while you press F11 and give it another try.
F11, okay. I will do that.
I won't promise that's it. Different models do different things, but that's the most common one.
Try that.
Okay. I'm not that sensitive. F11.
Yeah. Try that and let us know.
But where do I find F11? That's my
question.
Along the top, your keys along the top.
Yes, okay. I will try that. Thank you very much.
If you have a USB keyboard lying around from maybe an old computer, you can plug that in and see if it works.
I even asked my daughter if she has one. She doesn't have one either. And I did some research on, or tried to do some research online, but that didn't help me either. So.
Right. But anyway, give that a try. There is certainly, if you still got the manual that came with your laptop, and I understand no one ever keeps those things, but if you did, you would be able to look in there and find the number lock thing.
She can always download it. I mean,
on another computer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea, too. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Very few people ever run into this situation, but just about every computer on the planet has a number lock thing they can do. And in fact, some use those first three keys for something else, the 1, 2, 3, and 4, actually four keys. Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition.
I did.
You did. And you're nobody, apparently. Yeah. That's how that works. But others often have a keypad on the JK UI, etc. keys. You might find numbers on those, and there's a key combination that turns that on as a keypad. So any one of those things could be what's causing your issue right there. But definitely, what you want to do is make sure that key lock, the num lock key, is properly set. And usually there's some sort of indicator, a light or something.
And what's interesting is it's only the first three, four numbers, not the rest of it. I wonder if the like QWE work, and maybe that row of keys is malfunctioning, that whole set of keys. Because a lot of keyboards are sort of broken into quadrants for the control lines that go.
Right. If that, well, or her pin is only four numbers, and they're the first four.
Well,
numbers.
She said there was an at in it, so she's trying to do shift two.
Yeah.
And that's not working either.
Right. So if you've turned off the thing, it might be none of them work, and she only knows about the first four.
That could be.
But at any rate, the fact is that many computers have some sort of numlock function. So there you are. We want to thank Kevin, who was very kind enough to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Thank you, Kevin. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and so we need your help. Please make a call, make a pledge. We only come to you a couple of times a year, twice a year, and ask for your generous support for this station. You listen to this show every week. You enjoy this show. You download the podcast. You come into the video chat on Sundays. You follow us online. We need help, and you're the people who can give it to us. So make the call, make the pledge. While you do that, we will take a short break so you don't miss a single dang thing. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 32 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Make that call, make that pledge right now.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Everybody, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 37 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we have a couple of more people to thank for their generous donations. We have Michael and Steven. Thank you both so, so much. Every one of you who pledges warms the cockles of my heart. Although I probably shouldn't talk about them on the air. And anyway, we are very honored and delighted that humbly that you are members. And what about the rest of you? Look, I get it. Listening to us talk about pledge drives is annoying.
Yeah.
I really do understand that. But it's less annoying if you're a member. If you're a member, you can be smug. You can say, I'm a member. I already did that. I'm ahead of the curve. I'm better than average. And you could be that as well. All you have to do is make the call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're not in the 585 area code, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can call toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. If you don't feel like picking up the phone, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Click on the Donate Now button, and you'll be able to donate. You can pick your level. You can pick the amount. You can pick, this works backwards. And if you scroll down far enough, then you can say what program you're pledging around, and you want to click Soundbites for that, of course. And you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So those of you in foreign countries, the many, many hundreds of you who download the podcast every single week, it doesn't matter if wherever you are, it's 4 a.m. here. You can still pledge online, jazz901.org. Make that pledge. Make that call. Keep us on the air. We need to stay on the air. We need to be doing this. You need us to be doing this. You depend on us. And so now we're depending on you. Please,
you know,
make the call, make the pledge.
You could have led into a better segue for me.
Uh-oh, here we go.
You know,
Like I say, I was talking to a couple of my friends. I have a couple.
Oh, you have a couple friends.
Yeah, I really do.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And they were asking about soundbites. You know, that we have been here for 31 years.
31 years, 7 months, and what is it, 13 days today?
And I 14. I got to reflecting back. You know, I started to think of back in the days when the three of us got together and we started this out. And we were sitting around and talking about these computers that were going to be the new thing to take over the world for us, folks. I mean, we're talking these big desktop. They weren't towers or anything else. They were just a desktop computer that had two floppy drives on it, no mouse, no keyboard. And Steve was talking about a few Macs. And just think about it, though. Over the past 30 years, we have taken you through the original PCs that we play with, and we've gone through the 286s, the 386s, and then, the 486s. And then we got into the Pentiums. And now we've taken you into the various Intel systems and that. And we have been there through all those years, walking you folks through all the various problems and issues that you might have had with your computer because it was something new and you were just hooking it up, whether it was a SCSI drive. I bet you most of folks don't remember the old daisy chains and that they had to, with the SCSI
drives.
Yeah. And the networking. It wasn't Cat5. It was coax that you chained from one PC to the other to the other. And if somebody by chance unhooked one, your whole network went down.
Token ring, I remember it
we
well.
We were there. We have been there with you folks from when you had that big box that sat on your desk and you could only switch in floppies to now, and we've been talking about this quite a bit, down to a computer that you could literally, that has more power than that original 286, put in the pocket because it's no bigger than a pack of cigarettes.
Or on your wrist now.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and we have been there for the 31 years walking through you through all of that, all the various operating systems, all the various programs that work with those operating systems. Whether it's spyware, malware, we've been through virus attacks and everything else. And we have been there for you folks, answering with the questions, and Nick doing the security tangle. He not only did it for one flavor, you know, just saying, oh, just worry about the Windows. He's done it for the Mac and the Unix. He's covered all the bases because we cover everything for you folks. And that's the other thing about us three. We come from three different areas and technology that, you know, we can cover a lot of your questions. So a lot of back when folks would sit there and say, well, what do? Take the questions ahead of time and answer them? No, we do it live without a net.
Yeah.
And that's the way we've done it for 31 years. Will we have all the answers? No. But, you know, that's where we rely on you as listeners.
And now suddenly, by the way, we're getting calls about ham radios.
Yeah.
If you're a ham radio operator and you're not a member of Jazz 90.1, shame on you. Shame on you.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Folks just think, oh, computers, I, you know, play games and all that. No, folks, think of it. Your computers now can control your home. They set up computers now to turn on your thermostats, to have your video cameras watching. So you could be somewhere else. Your doorbell rings, and through a computer system, you can see who's at your front door or if somebody's being a porch pirate and stealing stuff. You have that technology right there on your cell phone. So computers are being used by more and more areas. It's just not something that sits on your desk, and that's it. It's becoming more and more of our lives. I mean, you know, with the drone copters and all that, that's all little computers. I mean, think about even the cards that you can buy for holidays, that you can open them up and they sit there and sing a song.
Those are pretty powerful little computers.
That's more power in one of those cards than existed when the first 286 came out.
That's exactly right. And Steve, your new helicopter.
Yeah.
It's got essentially a little, it's an Arduino or perhaps
some
Pi Zero
custom controller in there.
Yeah, in it, and those, and they're everywhere now. You can't avoid them, and we're here to answer your questions about all of that stuff. But we're hoping
these are even a miniature computer now, and what I'm holding up is just my cell phone.
Right.
Believe it or not, folks, you see folks now walking around. They don't look up. They're looking down, and they're looking at their screen because either they're surfing the web or, you know, texting somebody or emailing somebody or even video conferencing off this thing that you carry around in your pocket.
That's right. And listen, on top of that, we provide not only a weekly show that goes out over the airwaves and over the internet live, but we also provide a YouTube stream, and we provide a podcast. And all we ask in return is that you become a member of this station. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
I probably should have played Uncle Dave music
you
before that.
You probably should have. But the fact is that it takes less than 2 minutes out of your life for what ends up being a couple of hundred hours of entertainment every year. How do you not win with that formula? So make the call, make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We're more than happy to take your pledge any one of those ways.
You know, that's the thing folks have to realize. We have fun doing this, and we've hopefully made it fun for a lot of you folks that you tune in each week and listen. You know, you might not learn something every week, but hopefully we're quite entertaining, or Rob, I don't think, would keep us around. Because, you know, he took, like I said, you've heard us say it before if you've been listening. He took a big risk right in the middle on a Saturday. Here it is, Saturday afternoon, coming up on 2 o'clock. And, you know, he could be just playing music. But he hauled us three in and said, hey, you still want to do the show? And we said, yep. And we started up, and we've been going strong. And you folks have been there for us. You've been supporting us. So let's not let him down either, and just, you know, hey, show your support, make that phone ring, and, you know, I'd love to beat the polka guys. We're getting close.
We're not close enough. We need you to make the call, make the pledge.
Like you said, every dollar gets us that much closer.
That's exactly right.
For soundbite listeners versus polka listeners.
Right. Anyway, let me read a couple of questions here. Ken, I don't know where Ken is. I probably could find out pretty easily in a second. Greece, Ken from Greece. I have a question about two PCs, Dell Optiplex 960, Compaq Presario S3000V. Wow. Both have a single hidden partition volume. I would like to retrieve that disk space by deleting and then repartitioning the entire disk. Is the hidden partition volume necessary for the PC and OS to operate properly? Probably. What they probably are is a restore site. So if your system dies, it can restore the original version of Windows that you had on the Dell or the Compaq, both of them with whatever precisely correct drivers were needed by that particular set of hardware that you purchased. Now, I didn't really look up the dates, but both of these are fairly old machines. So if you don't care about that, you could probably remove those partitions by reformatting the entire drive and reclaiming that space. But it's honestly, it's not going to be much space.
No.
And it's certainly a good fallback position to have. So I personally wouldn't do it unless I was going to put Linux on it, for example, and then you don't need it anymore. But if you're going to continue to use Windows, particularly the version of Windows that came with it, then you definitely want to keep that partition handy. So his second question is about Chrome. He said, heard about your zero-day exploit. You requested Chrome to update and install the version 88, not the version you reported as 89. I received a Chrome message that said 89 was available, but it said it updated and he shut it down. A few days later, it booted while offline and it would not accept my login name and password. I verified I entered the correct name and password. All my files in the download folder were gone. All my bookmarks were deleted, et cetera, et cetera. What it seems happened is this. When you booted while offline, you logged in, you tried to log in with what is likely to be an online username and password. It probably validates at Microsoft. And so because you were offline, it could not do that. And therefore, when you wanted the username and password for your that you logged on with your system, many machines have two separate logons. There's the local logon, and then there's the internet logon. You've clearly been using the internet logon for a long time, but when you booted up with it offline, it could not access the internet login, so it requested your local login. That local login is completely different from your internet login, and therefore you have no all your stuff is going to be different. It's like logging in with a different username and password, which is exactly what you did. You don't have access to that other person's stuff. So you won't be using DuckDuckGo. You'll be using Google, which is the default. You won't be using your files and folders because you're a different user and you don't have access to that other person's stuff. Same with the bookmarks and et cetera, et cetera. That's pretty much the answer to those two questions. And in general, you need to log in with the correct username and password to continue to use that person's stuff.
Thank you. You too.
Also, it sounds like those are fairly old systems, so I hope you've got good backups. Let's just remember backups. Okay.
You don't have enough backups.
You do not have enough backups.
Never enough.
That is true.
No, that caller was just suggesting... Just didn't want to go on the air. Just suggested that we should put a pledge meter on our homepage.
That's a very good. That's a very good thought.
Every now and then, Rob posts our progress.
I don't know if that's.
I don't think it's on the Jazz site at the moment.
Right, but he does talk about it fairly regularly. But you're right; a pledge meter would be kind of fun. But you know what? You don't need a meter. You just need the pledge.
Yeah, you just know whether you are or not.
Right. You know whether or not you're a member. If you're not a member, why not? You're listening to the show. It must be important to you, so you have two choices. Three choices. Of course, you can just keep listening and not pledging. But your two basic choices are stop listening or pledge.
Yeah.
And pledging is a lot easier on your nerves. So make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We want to thank Roger for his generous donation. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Roger.
That's very nice.
You know, with the meter, I can see it going both ways. You know, the meter's getting close to the end and people stop pledging because I think someone else will do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's getting close to the end, so people try to pledge higher to finish it.
Right.
I think the former rather than the latter.
Yeah, right. But the fact is, it doesn't matter who else pledged.
Yeah, someone
Nobody else,
will do
else
it.
Is important.
Don't think someone else is going to do it because most of the people don't pledge.
Yeah, right, don't exactly. Rely on the other guy. You be the guy that, or person, I should say. You right. Be the person that, you know, picks up the phone, pledges, and then that way, you know, when you hear us talking about it, you can just sit back and sit there with, like Nick said, smugness and just say, yeah, I'm already a member. And when you call in, you can, you know, with your question, say, yeah, I'm already a member.
Yep.
Easy as that.
Look, it's easier on your nerves. It really is. You're sitting there saying, stop talking about the pledge drive because I'm not a member and I feel guilty. You don't have to feel guilty. You can feel smug. Mm-hmm. You can feel like a member of the family. And you can join us. Super simple. Join us. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You know, I've noticed a phenomenon over the years as we do the pledge drive. We get fewer calls during pledge drive weeks because people don't want to admit they're not members. If you're that ashamed, make the call, make the pledge, become a member, and then you can feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself, people. Make the call and make the pledge. Best way to do that, of course, is as a Jazzomatic member. A minimum of $10 a month, but you pick the number that or above. And every month we take that money out of your account and you get the pledge gifts at that highest level, and it's all good. And it's a tiny bite every month rather than a big bite all at once. And every single person wins. So get set up that win-win-win-win-win situation. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And just because the show is getting close to finishing doesn't mean you have to stop pledging. In fact, once the show does finish and we stop talking, you can listen to the fine music coming up next while you make the pledge to us.
Yeah, and you can make and you can make that pledge online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm talking to you people who are listening to the podcast right now, those of you in Germany and Sweden and Spain and all over the world who are listening to this podcast during the week, you know who you are and you know you have not pledged. So make the call, make the pledge, make sure this show keeps coming your way every single week. And the only way to do that, the only way that this show stays on the air is if you make that call and make that pledge. It's that simple. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You know, we get people all the time. Oh, I'm so glad that show's there. I love listening to it. Or somebody says, man, I wish you guys were back on the air. And we tell them, we are. We're on Jazz 90.1. Oh, that's great. And then they listen and then they don't become members. I don't understand that mindset. I don't understand it. There's a certain level here where somebody is thrilled that we're back on the air, but not thrilled enough to make sure we stay on the air. I don't get that. Yeah. I don't get it at all.
Yeah. Well, they enjoy it, you know, and, oh, I heard what you said there. I tried that out, and that really helped. Oh, good. Are you a member?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yep. We see that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I still see people, good people saying, you know, they watch us on TV.
Yes. Yes, they do. But the reality is that we are here to help you, and all we ask is that twice a year you help us. Make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. I'm going to keep saying it because you haven't called it, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Do it. I don't know what you're waiting for. Do it now.
That's probably why some of the folks don't recognize me now. Because I had more hair back there when I was on radio.
It was a different color.
When I was on TV.
That's
when we did the show back then.
That's right.
It was a lot darker, too.
Yeah, exactly. So make that call and make that pledge. We need your support. This is not a joke. This is we need to stay on the air. We want to stay on the air, but we can't do it without you. You're the one who keeps us here. Make the call. Make the pledge. This is what assures that this show will stay on the air. That's how this works. There's a certain reality to all of that. Is that music? Is that what you're trying to do there?
No, that was my watch telling me to breathe.
Okay, breathe. Which you haven't been doing.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. All right, that's it. We are done for another week. Listen, you can still make that call and make that pledge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Jazz 901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes of your time, and it makes sure that we will indeed be back next week. That's never a sure thing. In this uncertain world, you need to make that pledge. Jazz 901.org. Click on the Contact Us link button, and hopefully we will be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great. And we are truly grateful to each and every one of you because we are member supported. Jazz 90.1. Hopefully we'll see you in 166 hours.